Good evening and welcome to Songs from Studio C on North State Public Radio. I'm Nolan Ford, and tonight I'm joined by Chico musician Kirk Williams, who is well known for his long history performing with metal bands such as Arm for Apocalypse and Touch Fuzzy Get Dizzy. More recently, Kirk has adopted the stage name Lish Bills and delighted audiences on the opposite side of the musical spectrum with his original acoustic tunes. Kirk, thanks for joining me on the show today.
Thank you.
So you're involved in several music projects here in Chico. Is there any one band that you would consider sort of your main band?
Well, you know, I guess that's been Armed for Apocalypse for a while. You know, that's been sort of the central focus since there's a lot of touring involved in that and everything. But you know, I don't know. That's tough.
Do you have any touring plans coming up this summer or anything?
No, we're in writing mode right now.
Okay, excellent. What's the next release planned for?
Don't know yet.
Okay.
Don't know. Yeah. And then Touch Fuzzy Get Dizzy is finishing up tracking our record, going into mixing pretty soon.
Nice. Can you describe sort of what Touch Fuzzy Get Dizzy is like to our listeners?
Oh man, I don't know. It's me and Matt Schultz from here, and also from Teef, and Adrian from Cold Blue Mountain, and Jack from the Shimmies, and it's kind of like a heavy, but poppy and explorative, and it's sort of just whatever we want to do. It's pretty goofy in subject matter, and we just have a lot of fun. So you know, I don't know. You'd have to check it out.
Well, there's like a lot of storytelling that goes on in this.
It's like a
concept album that you guys are working on. It sounds like
it is. Yeah, it's called Universe Sandwich.
And what is the story that's being told?
Oh man, it has to do with a trans-dimensional being called the Dog Moose and his struggle with the Horse Cat, and you know, a slew of other characters involved. But you know, it would take too long for me to really explain.
It's
it
a
right
long
now.
Story.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like it's a lot of fun and it's a lot of creative freedom. You know, something maybe you haven't done before with other projects.
Yeah, there's a lot of freedom for sure. It's great.
So today we'll be kind of exploring a little bit of another side of your musical talent. How did the stage name Lish Bills come to be?
That was a nickname that I got working at the Music Connection. I think Dan from there started calling me Kirk-a-Lish, and then he realized that my last name Williams could abbreviate to Bills. And that's it, really. Lish Bills. I, you know, no thought really there. But then it kind of seemed natural to use that as my stage name, you know.
And did you begin kind of performing acoustic music? Did that come after all the sort of more heavier music experiences in your life, or did you sort of begin with acoustic music and you're kind of returning to it now?
I mean, I always liked all kinds of music, but I definitely grew up playing heavy music, and I've always, you know, mostly played heavy music. But after Arm for Apocalypse's first U.S. tour, I decided I wanted to start playing out acoustic, mostly just so I could go play if my band wasn't going to play and if I just felt like going and playing somewhere. And it just was sort of a different creative outlet, too.
So you've been doing it for, you know, a few years now, and I was wondering how you would describe or compare the experiences of performing, you know, such heavy music as Arm for Apocalypse with kind of the more tranquil sounds of Lish Bills.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely different. It's a different feeling that you kind of have to get yourself into, I guess. You know, you can't rely on adrenaline like you do with heavy music, you know, because no matter how you're feeling before you play, before I play anyway with Arm for Apocalypse or something like that, I can kind of rely on that adrenaline boost. And just know that I'm going to be feeling it, you know, in a minute or so. But with the acoustic stuff, you kind of got to get into a different headspace. And at first it was kind of nerve-wracking, but yeah, I definitely enjoy it.
Do you feel more well-rounded as an artist or a performer by being able to express yourself on different musical platforms?
I mean, absolutely. Yeah. I think it's really important to try and be well-rounded, whatever that means, you know, but just to explore different, just different things, even if it's things other than music, but within your art form, certainly to explore different genres or, you know, ways of doing things.
Is there any, you know, when you're creating lyrics for, you know, these different styles of music, is there any overlap in the content of what you're writing about, or are they kind of just drastically different subject matter?
Usually pretty drastically different.
Yeah.
You know, I tend to write lyrics to the music, which I'm kind of trying to get out of that in a way, you know, to try and let there be more overlap there. But yeah, so far, the Lishbill stuff has kind of, you know, I had never written sort of traditional type love songs or other, I don't know, regular songs, I guess, that aren't about some obscure misanthropic whatever thing shrouded in metaphor, you know, just really literal or hard on your sleeve kind of simple songs. And so I just wanted to try that, you know.
Do you think it's kind of a challenge to write when it's like a little bit more like naked or stripped down, or like you were saying, less metaphorical and just writing, just being very direct in the lyrics that you're creating for your songs?
Yeah, it is. Because, I mean, it's not always a good thing, too. You know, sometimes I write songs like that and I listen back to them and I'm like, man, that's kind of not that great of a song, really. But I don't know. Then that's also my personal bias, and it's kind of like, it's weird to hear yourself singing about those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. I think that's just a really interesting thing. I've talked to a lot of songwriters about that, and it, you know, a lot of people strive for these kind of obscure lyrics because they can be, you know, digested as really poetic and interesting, or you know, people can take them in different ways. But it's interesting to see that people experience the challenge of, you know, writing a very direct song and saying something very specific.
Well, I think to do it well, you have to really say it right. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody wants to hear. And even I don't want to sing a song that's just overtly depressing or like, I'm so lonely or something like that. You know, you got to say things in the right way, even if it's really direct. And I think that's really challenging.
Definitely. Are there any, I'm kind of like jumping onto this theme quite a bit here, comparing the heavy music with the lighter music, but,
that's fine.
Are there any acoustic performers that also perform in, you know, heavier rock or metal bands that you sort of admire and that are doing what you're doing with both genres of music?
You know, I mean, there are, although I don't know that a lot of the ones I can think of, a lot of time the mood is still sort of similar. Like some of the guys from Neurosis have acoustic projects, and Mike from Yob, who I just saw last night in Sacramento, which was awesome. He has an acoustic thing. But, you know, in those cases, the music still kind of has a heavy mood to it, you know, and that's also something that I think I'd like to explore. But I don't know. I don't know if at least I listen to anybody who has, you know, really drastic different projects. And I don't know what that means, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure there's people out there who are doing it. But no examples are coming to mind right now for some reason.
Yeah. Well, you're one of the busier musicians here in town, I'd say, in Chico. And I was wondering if you ever feel weighed down or spread thin by being a part of so many different musical projects, or do you find that rhythm of life keeps you musically inspired, you know, by filling your life with so much music?
I mean, it depends. You know, you definitely, there is such a thing as being spread too thin sometimes, and I just try to recognize when that is and kind of check in with myself and everything. Lately, I haven't even, music has been something I've kind of had to make an effort to do lately. I started going back to school too, and I've been busy with that. And so,
What are you studying?
I'm looking at doing planetary science, eventually, maybe at Berkeley, but, that's just sort of, you know, initial goal. But yeah, I mean, it's just a totally different interest I've developed. And so, yeah, music now, I am not as busy, but I'm at least with that, but I'm super busy anyway. So I think that's maybe just my way of living, is to completely overload myself. And whether it's with music or other stuff, I think if I ever stopped playing music altogether, I would go insane. Mm-hmm. There's no way I could do that, I don't think.
Yeah, you kind of get in that rhythm of having projects that you're constantly working on. And
Yeah.
It's hard to abandon that. So, you know, a lot of our listeners might be kind of beginning musicians or just picked up a guitar for the first time or even kind of strumming their first chords and creating lyrics, writing their first songs. I was wondering if you might be able to offer some advice to those people as far as, you know, how to, you know, when you were first getting started, what was some advice you wish you heard?
I don't know. I got a lot of really good advice when I was starting, and I was taking lessons, and then I give guitar lessons now, and I still take them too, you know. I just think if you want to do something, then you should just do it. Like, if you want to write songs, you got to start writing songs. Whether, they're not going to be very good at first, probably. You're not going to think they're good. Ira Glass has that thing that everybody, you know, shares on the internet about taste. And if you have good taste, your work doesn't match up to it for a while. It doesn't live up to your taste. So you just have to keep making more and more work until it does. I think that's about the best advice you could give an aspiring artist, is just to keep working.
Well, we're talking with Lish Bills, a.k.a. Kirk Williams, today in the studio, and who's about to get into a play a song for us. Lish, what song are you going to play for us today?
I'm going to play the song Aberdeen.
Okay, and what can you tell us about this song? What inspired you to write this song?
Armed for Apocalypse was on tour in the UK, and we played a show in Glasgow, Scotland, and the chorus of the song I actually got from something the guy, our friend who we stayed with there, said. He didn't literally say, "You can stay at my house." We had already talked about that, but he's like, "It's not big, but it's a roof and there's whiskey." And I was like, "Oh man, that sounds so much like a country song lyric." You know? And so I wrote the song around that, and it's kind of just, I don't know what it's about really, you know. I guess that's like, I change my mind about that as I sing it. It's just sort of maybe images from that time and, kind of trying to get at the mood that I was in, you know, during that, that tour and after it. I mean, cause I finished writing it after we got back, but,